Well, hello, High Point Church. Good evening. It's wonderful to be here this evening. We are on our fifth teaching of this eight-part series of the New You 2.0. It has been fantastic, and I hope you're sharing it with friends and family members, because I want to let you know, I'm teaching it and I'm being blessed. So I know other people are being blessed. I've gotten so many comments and so many responses that this has really been helpful. It is our desire here at High Point Church that you not only be a hearer of the Word, but you be transformed by the Word of God. We want that everyone realize who we are in Christ Jesus and build that intimate relationship with Him, that we can be transformed and living a supernatural life while we're on the earth. Amen? Thumbs up for that one. That was good. So let me just take a moment with you and just recap a little bit about last week. Last week, remember, I used the exercise of the mirror, and we had a mirror and we were looking at ourselves. And what is it you see when you look into your bathroom mirror, your hall mirror? What is it you see when you look in there? When you really look yourself in the face and in the eyes, and you know, you make that connection and you stare into your face and you see, what is it you see? Because see, what happens when we do that, we can look at, there's some people that are very superficial and surfacey, and they'll look at their complexion, they'll look at their eyes, they'll see if their hair is done, and that's all fine and good. But I'm expecting that you would look even deeper than that when you look into your mirror because of what we're talking about. And that when you look deeper into your mirror and really look in your eyes, it's amazing how your inner person will start talking to you. And you will either judge yourself or you'll speak life over yourself. You'll either see the good that is inside of you or you'll see the negativity that is inside of you. And when we really look into the mirror, we start really looking into our own souls and life when we start doing that. And it's the same way when this Bible, as an example of a mirror, we can look at its surfacey. And many people do. That's why we have squimishes. That's why we have little issues with people about, well, did it say exactly word for word that in the Bible? Or is that the idea that was trying to be conveyed to you? And we get in all kinds of squabbles about the surfacey parts of the Bible. But I want to let you know, God doesn't look at the outward, the surfacey part of a person. He really looks at the core human being. We call that the inner man. And when He looks at the inner man, He deals with us according to that person, the hidden man of the heart, the one that you talk to, the person in me that I talk to, that I have a dialogue with, and the one that you have a dialogue with within your heart. That it is our hope that as you look at yourself in the Bible, that it would sink down deep into your soul who you really are, and sink even deeper than all the natural, logical, reasonable things that you say about yourself because of the way you were raised, who your family is, and what experiences you've lived through on the earth. If you look even deeper than that in your own heart, it's the person that actually watches over your life, the one who's observing the life that you're living as you're thinking and speaking to yourself. That's the real you. And that real you, when you can link your heart and this Bible together to see who God created you to be, that seed, that reality, that truth will transform you. Because you do an identity shift. And in that identity shift is where real transformation takes place. It's almost like you're trying to prove it to yourself in the beginning. And so we speak words and we try to think thoughts. Some people even write them down on a card or on a piece of paper. And we meditate on them and we say them over and over and over again. I think people do that to kind of like get it settled down into their heart so they can go from the surface holding it in their minds to where it gets familiar enough that our heart kind of like unlocks and releases and lets it drop down into that deeper place that I'm talking about, where we live in our souls. As we do that, that seed or that word, that revelation, that light that reaches the inner person now can start being a part of the equation of who you say you are. And not just a piece of information that you carry around in your pocket or in your mind. Because if your mind gets distracted on something else, you lose your mind, you forget that thing, and no longer is it something that you identify with. So what we as Christians, as born-again believers, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, we do, we renew our minds. And we get this true identity of who we are lodged within our souls. Remember when I talked about James? And I said, in James, it's the engrafted word or the implanted word that is able to save your soul. When that idea or reality or truth or scripture really gets settled into the depths of your soul, that's when it can take root and start increasing and multiplying and becoming bigger and bigger and larger, and the reality of who you are in Christ starts expanding into the reality of how you live in this natural world. Are you with me? So that's seeing yourself in the mirror, being born again. And we talked before that about that there's two laws. There's the law of sin and death in Romans chapter 8 and the law of the Spirit of life. There's two laws that are working in this world all the time. And now let's just give a couple of examples to help you remember back. The law of the Spirit of life is kind of like the law of aerodynamics. And the law of sin and death is kind of like the law of gravity. Now, I'm only making an example. I'm not saying gravity is sin and death. But if you're at a height and you step off of a building or a cliff, and that law of gravity will probably cause the law of death to take effect in your body, because gravity is constantly operating. It never stops operating. It doesn't take a break. It has nothing to do with you and I. It's a law that operates regardless of whether we want to think it's true or not. It just does. And it's working on all of us across the board all the time. Well, the law of the Spirit is no different. It is working in all of us all the time, whether we're aware of it or not. And it is influencing us, and it is constantly a part of our world. But the law of the Spirit of life now is like aerodynamics, that if we start obeying that law and participating willfully in that law, we start getting the results that that law has to offer us. So anything, you've seen airplanes, of course you have, they fly. They supersede the law of gravity as long as that jet engine or that propeller motor is in operations. If that stops operating, then gravity takes effect and supersedes that law. Again, because the law of the Spirit, you have to participate in. So anything that has lift and power or thrust, if the lift is greater than the weight that is placed upon it, we call it the load. And if the thrust, the power that moves it forward, is greater than the drag, the thing that holds it back, it'll fly. So lift plus thrust, if it's greater than load plus drag, can fly. That's the way it is in the Spirit. We have to rise above the natural way of living on the planet. We have to rise above the natural way of thinking. We have to rise above the influences that are being applied to my natural person and my emotional person. Now, those influences are always in operation. But now I have to supersede those rules by deliberately operating by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of life, by eternal life. And I have to renew my mind. I have to take authority over my emotions, and I have to now reprogram through this upgrade reality on a grander scale. So now, before I had my five senses to operate in, I had feel, touch, right? We have sight, we have hearing, we have smell, we have taste. We have all those five senses in operation. And you've got emotions. You've got this emotional feeling, this inward gut feeling that we feel. People have anxiety attacks. They panic. The spirit of fear gets on them. And those are all the emotional things that well up inside of a person that really had nothing to do with touch. But maybe they heard something or saw something that connected in their heart and they got happy. They got excited about something. That's an emotional reaction on the inside of them. Now your spirit, it also has perception. You have spiritual eyes. You have spiritual ears. You have spiritual senses that operate. And we have to learn how to start participating using these new sensory perceptions that have been given to us. And now as our eyes start opening to the spiritual realm, our natural eyes, though we can now start seeing, the importance of the natural gets smaller and the importance of the spiritual realm gets greater. And then pretty soon our reality gets smaller and smaller in the spirit, and our reality in the natural, and larger in the spirit, that we can literally almost step across into being in two dimensions at the same time, if you'll grace me with that phrase. It is the natural and the spiritual. And now, as I start being a part of the spiritual realm, I start living as an example of the truth of the kingdom of God on the earth. Praise God. We start living that example of the reality of the kingdom of God while we're on the earth. And I'll tell you, that will get people's attention. Not you just start speaking words and saying, God loves you. What can you say? By his stripes I was healed. Or you can start saying that you got to give to get, sow a seed and get a harvest. All of those phrases are absolutely true biblically. But you have to be implementing them in your life also to be the living testimony that those things are true. Because I'll just say, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes or insult anyone when I say this. But if it's not operating in your life, how can you even tell somebody else that it needs to be operating in their life? You can't, because you obviously don't believe it yourself. So we have to take the time to really learn how to do this. And so enter the Holy Spirit of God. He is our helper. He is the teacher. He is the comforter. He is the guide. He is the one that is going to help us to experience and show us how to operate in the reality of what we read in the Bible. Remember last week I told you that because we're doing this association with programs, remember I told you on Word? Remember when Word, when it was brand new and is out in the community, it was a new kind of a program, that we had that little paperclip assistant that would come up on the page and would go and tell us how to operate within these programs of the Microsoft packages. And he would sit there and tell us, he'd say, or you'd hear him go, knock, 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 knock on the glass to try to get our attention, like as if he was on the screen. It was fun and cute, but it was a good example that he was always present. And when we started making little mistakes on the program, or we kept doing something, a mistake, incorrectly a few times, he would show up to show us how to actually fix that and do it right. So we have the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to go over a few verses on the Holy Spirit and kind of help you in receiving what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, many of you are High Point family. You know all about this. But, you know, since we're on Facebook and we're going out to the world, and there are people that aren't necessarily our family, in other words, they're the family of God, but they aren't here familiar with us on a daily basis or weekly basis. So I want to just kind of give a little background about this baptism in the Holy Spirit for the people that haven't been taught this in their church. Because I'm not condemning and I'm not judging, but I have made some perceptions. I have seen some things, and I'm aware of some issues, not issues, issues can be met bad, situations that I have noticed in people, that there are people who are born again. They believe Jesus for their salvation. They believe Jesus for forgiveness of their sin. And they expect to be in heaven for all eternity with God, walking on streets of gold and having a wonderful life in the kingdom of heaven. And that's where they sit. But on the earth, as they're living the days on the earth, they are powerless. There's no power of God operating in their lives. They're no different than a natural person living on the earth. They just have an expectation and a hope for a future date because they've acknowledged what God has done for them by the sins of by the blood of Jesus to wipe away the sins of the world. It's my hopes that we can participate in a greater dynamics of the Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you where I'm coming from here. I believe there's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit about to really unfold in the churches. I believe it's already started, and we're already seeing the signs of it happening. And I believe the people that have been living these mediocre lives of half, one foot in the kingdom of God, one foot in the world, this living this half life, are going to wake up and make a deeper heart commitment to serving God Himself. Because as they see that the world's getting darker and darker, and the rules that are being placed on us are more oppressive and are not setting us free, but are enslaving us even more, I think that there's like a righteous indignation rising up into people in America that don't want to live a life like that. And those of us that have been going to church and experiencing some level of the kingdom of God are now becoming much more sincere in our relationship with God. And this thing that has gone on in the year 2020 here in America and the world has helped. Because I tell you what, God's going to do what He can do to wake you up. Because it's His desire that everyone make it into the kingdom of God. It's His desire that everyone is saved, not just some people. But like I told you before, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that God has reconciled us to Him. He paid the price for the sins and He brought us back. So now on His side of the relationship, He sees us as clean and as forgiven. But we now have to be reconciled with God, that we now desire to know Him, to open up our hearts and our lives to Him, that He can be our God, that He can live inside of us and with us and show us what this eternal life really is all about. And that we can start living now in that kingdom of God, eternal life, quality of life. Amen? Amen. So, go with me, if you will, to John chapter 14. This is a great place. Let me go. Did I say 14? Yeah, we can start in 14. John chapter 14. And Jesus is talking to His disciples. And He's getting ready to now leave this earth realm. He knew that He was going to be beaten. He was going to die on the cross. and that he was going to ascend back to heaven again. And see, he had been teaching everyone at that time about the kingdom of God, and especially unfolding those truths and sharing them with his disciples so they can have a greater knowledge of what he was talking about. And so he was getting ready to go, and Philip asked him, he says, talking to him about the Father and who the Father is. And Philip said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, have you been with me so long that you don't really, this is me paraphrasing, you don't really recognize that the Father's in me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm the living embodiment of his Spirit on the earth as a witness to you. So he explained that to Philip and the guys, and then he went on to talk about who he was going to have replace him on the earth to teach us and to show us things about God. So here it is in John 14. Let's start in verse 12, if we can do that. Is that all right with y'all? Let me stand over here so we can get the screen in there. John 14, verse 12, and it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Those are some pretty bold promises from Jesus. Those are really big promises from Jesus. So now again, we got to let that person on the inside of us, the one that doesn't make decisions quickly, the one that's slow and methodical about who I am and how I recognize myself, that person has just been told that they can do the things that Jesus could do. See, now that's where you got this crisis of belief that comes in. And you have to decide, is that really true or not? I know many, many people that read the Bible and they would never deny that the Bible is true. But I gotta let you know, it's not working in their life, and so they think they're broken somehow, they're inferior somehow, they've made too many mistakes in their life, and God is withholding something from them. I want to let you know that is absolutely not true. What is true is the inner person, the deep person within your heart, hasn't really believed it yet. You're having a hard time to accept that what Jesus says is true, because you've had too many other experiences of your reality and who you are lodged on the inside of you. So this is where the inside you, the new you 2.0, has to emerge. This is where it comes seriously. You're no longer just a person on the earth. Now you're a creature of heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. You're a son of God himself, or a daughter of God himself. And now the reality of that has to be shaken inside of you so that you wake up to experience the depths of belief that is necessary to operate in these things. So going on. In John chapter 14, verse 15, now it says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. So this is Jesus saying, okay, you guys, if you really do what I say to do, he calls them commandments. He says, if you will really do these things that I say to do, then I am going to make sure that this helper is sent to you to really help you so that you can understand and experience and walk out in this natural realm these truths that I'm teaching you about the invisible kingdom of God that is very real and operative right now. So then he says, in verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. So let me just say this for a minute before I read those last few words of this verse. See, Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Remember when he was in the Jordan River and John the Baptist baptized him in the water and the Spirit of God descended on him, kind of like a dove would light down onto a branch. The Spirit came down on him and remained on Jesus. And then Jesus went out into the wilderness, was tempted by the devil. And then at that time is when he was being tested. Do I believe that I'm natural? Do I believe that I'm physical? Do I need to take care of my emotional needs and my basic flesh needs? Is that who I really am? Or am I really this Son of God? Am I really this eternal person God birthed? And he had to reconcile that for 40 days of no food. It doesn't even say he drank water, but it's a 40-day fast is what he had in the wilderness with the presence of the Holy Spirit with him and all the Bible scriptures that he had lodged in his heart for reading the Bible. So he had all the words of the Bible and the Holy Spirit present with him while he's being tempted to believe that he's still a natural person or that he maybe is the Son of God, but now you're going to use this power of God for selfish gain somehow and self-protection and maybe profit. So this is where Jesus was really tested in his heart as to, do I love God, my Father? Am I going to do his will in this world or am I going to do my own will in this world? And he had that where he really got focused and the pressure was on him to really deal with the inner person of his heart, who he really was. And I want to let you know, saints, many of us live a surfacey life in Christianity. And I'm not trying to condemn anyone or embarrass anyone, because I can't see any of you. It's your own heart speaking to you if anything I'm saying kind of pricks a little bit. But the surfacey life of a Christian, by being so distracted by many, many things. Remember, that reminds me of Martha and Mary, how Martha was so busy about cooking food and taking care of responsibilities of the natural day. And Jesus said that Mary had chosen the needful thing to settle herself down and really hear what the Lord, the creator of the universe, was saying to her. And so many of us have to settle ourselves down and really connect with God himself to minister the truth of who we are in our hearts. So, going on. So it says that he will be in you. See, he not only dwelt with them on Jesus, as Jesus was walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Father was with him. Remember, he said, the Father will never leave me. The things that I do is because it's the Father that does them. I hear what he says, I see what he does, and I do those same things. Well, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father, and he is in Jesus and on Jesus, and that's how Jesus was able to do the miracles, because the Spirit of God was with him. Okay, let's go with a verse I didn't give her. It's Acts 10:38. If you just want to go with me real quick to Acts 10:38. And this reminds me of a guy. His name was Cornelius. And in the book of Acts 10:38, this is what it says about Jesus. So Peter was talking to Cornelius, and I was going to do it real quick, about God had told the Jews to go to the Gentiles because he wanted to give the gift of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles also. Because remember, the Jews were the separated people, the Hebrews, just for God. And now the Spirit of God that they got back in Acts chapter 2, God was now going to splash onto everybody. And Cornelius, this wonderful man of God who prayed and gave alms and was generous and kind, his household was the first one. And so Peter is explaining about Jesus, that he was the Son of God filled with the Spirit of God. And this is what it says in Acts 10:38. how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus went around doing good, healing everyone who was oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Well, now the Holy Spirit has been given to us also. In fact, let me just read down a little further for you here. It's in verse 47. Let me go back to 44. Can I go to Acts 10, 44 and read down real quick? And here's what it says. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the words. 48 or 45. And those who of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. 46. For they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. And Peter answered. Next one. Can anyone forbid water to these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So, God is no respecter of persons. Anyone who wants to receive the Holy Spirit can receive the Holy Spirit of God. And you can receive the Holy Spirit of God. Let me go on a little further. Go back to where we were in John. And we were in John 14 and verse 18 now. So it was in 17. Let me read 17 again and then 18. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So the Holy Spirit that they were able to witness in Jesus doing these miracles was with Jesus the whole time, is now with them and will be in them when they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they are able to now be able to walk in this power of God because, listen, Jesus was great to be on the earth, but Jesus alone wasn't enough. We needed more than that. We need someone that can be there with us to teach us and to show us, right? So Jesus left, but he sent the Holy Spirit that now we can be baptized in this Holy Spirit and walk with this new governor, this tutor, this teacher daily. I feel like I really want to say something here, but I'm wrestling with should I go on or should I go on a little preach here for a moment. I'm going to go on a preach for a moment. Can I go off script for a second, you guys, if you don't mind? Listen to me. It's not about you anymore. This new you 2.0 is that you died. And the real upgrade is God himself in you. And when you give your life to him, it's not yours anymore. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says you were bought at a price. Jesus paid for you with his life's blood. He was beaten for you. He hung on a cross for you personally. So that there was no more enmity between you and God. So there'd be no division that you were inferior somehow to being able to be in a relationship with God. It's by his grace that we're saved, it says in Ephesians chapter 2. And not of works, so that none of us can boast because we have some advantage over somebody else. We are all equal in this. And accepting that Jesus died for your sins is the first and important part of it, so that you can be forgiven, so that condemnation can't keep beating you over the head because you get born of the Spirit. But saints, brothers and sisters, I want to let you know, the Holy Spirit is a person. And he's with us. And he's our teacher. And he's the one that lets us know about the things of God and reveals the things of God to us. We can't ignore our teachers. If you went to school and ignored your teacher, how much would you really learn? And if you ignore your teachers because your heart is not into learning what the teacher's teaching. But if you really want to walk in the things of the kingdom of God, If you actually want to prove the truth that the kingdom of God is with men, you have to get to know the Holy Spirit. Who is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is the Spirit of the Father? For they're all one. I don't know how that works. I just know it's true. So it's God in you and with you. And as you start grooming that real relationship with God, to where you humble yourself, you break the pride cycle. It's not about you being more or good enough. It's about you resigning yourself to the relationship and start letting Him lead you and show you and reveal the things of the kingdom of God. You know, the whole world, it says in Romans chapter 8, is crying out and groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Do you know you can speak to your crops? You can speak to your vegetable gardens and they respond? Do you know you can speak to people and they're 98% water, or whatever the real number is, and that water responds to our words? And we can speak life over our situations, over the weather, over our environment, over our future. Our perspective can be cleaned that we can see favor for our future by believing the word of God that says we have the favor of God now. And as you believe God and start renewing your mind, that the person that's on the deep inside of you, the you that no one can touch, only you can relate to that person. When that person connects with the Holy Spirit and starts living a life with the Holy Spirit as your number one relationship, not your children, not your spouse, not your parents, not your boss. The Holy Spirit is your number one most important relationship. And you can call Jesus Christ as your number one or Father God as your number one. He doesn't care how you make your connection, but it's with God Himself who lives in you and is with you. And as you do that, you can start actually manifesting the things of God in this earth. I'm going to move forward, if you don't mind. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with me. I love you guys. I really love you guys. And I want each and every one of us to be able to actually walk this stuff out. Revival is coming, not only to America, but to the world. You know, I made a rapture video on a dream that I had, and it's thousands and thousands and thousands of views, all kinds of comments. And what I noticed when I put that video out is that there are lots and lots and lots and lots of people that have been getting rapture dreams. God's letting people know all over the place that He's coming and that people have time to get ready. And you know, God's time is not my time. He's been saying, get ready, I'm coming quickly, for a long time, as far as we're concerned. But He's going to come lickety-split. And if you are in a familiar relationship with God, you'll know exactly when He's coming. You'll know. He's going to let you know on the inside of you by your spirit that it's happening now. And I think some of you, even listening to me right now, your spirit bears witness that this is starting. It's happening. We're waking up, and that something is happening, that the supernatural rules of the kingdom of God are going to start becoming more and more pronounced, overlaying these natural rules of this earth. And a supernatural God is going to be revealed in this natural realm through you, through me, and through all of us together. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 9. Are you with me still? Good. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things. That was verse 10. I'm sorry. Let me go back to 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of man the thing which God has prepared for those who love Him. and the natural man really can't even figure this stuff out. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So God has His Spirit and you have your Spirit. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. So you have your Spirit and you've received God's Spirit, who knows the things of God. And now He's with you. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. For these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Saints, brothers and sisters, I want to let you know, you have a human spirit. And when you got born from God, your human spirit woke up and now became aware of the reality of the kingdom of God. But you need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit also, so that the Holy Spirit can teach your spirit about the things concerning God, because they're spiritually discerned. You can't just pick it up by breathing air and walking on the earth. You have to be in a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God in order to learn these things. And the natural person, the person who is not in a relationship with God in the Spirit, cannot understand these things. They're absolutely crazy. It's ludicrous. It's foolish. How many of you guys have ever gone to a doctor? And the doctor starts saying, well, how appropriate for what we're going through right now. Says that this is the truth and that this is what we're living through right now. And you need to make concessions for this reality. And you know what? To them, if you're not wearing a mask, if you're not staying 6 feet away, you are a fool. You're an absolute fool if you're not doing that with this virus going around the country right now. But I want to let you know something. To a real Christian, where the Spirit of God dwells in them. That's the only thing that makes us different than the world, you guys, is that we have the Spirit of God in us. That's what a Christian is, a person that has the Spirit of God in them. The world does not have that. So they have to obey those rules. They're limited to the rule of gravity, remember, of sin and death. That's their laws that they live by. But you now have a law of the Spirit of life living in you. And as that Spirit of life, by the activation of the Holy Spirit and the revelation of light that's given to you, you start seeing life, everlasting life in everything you say, think, do, and relate to as you. That life rises up inside of you and you start living by a new law of the Spirit of life. Now, it's not ridiculous if you don't wear a mask. It's not ridiculous if you don't wear rubber gloves. Because that plague can't touch you because of the life that is exuding out of you. There are too many men and women of God who have honestly put God first in their life, and through the relationship they had with God, were completely renewed in who they were in their identity as sons and daughters of God, and the reality that they lived in superseded the natural realm. And a natural person, that's ridiculous. They can't even comprehend. It's like a person that's never really been in love and heart sick in love with another person. You don't know what that is. It's just another person. It's a relationship. You can take it or leave it. Oh, it's great for now, but no big deal. Because that part of their heart's never woke up yet. But when you wake up in the kingdom of God and you arise to righteousness in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's completely different, you guys. It's completely different. You really become alive in the things of God. And look at here, you guys. All this time I've been talking to you, I haven't even really got to even begin to unfold the reality of this teacher that we've been given. So I'm going to take my liberty and share this even a little bit more next week, you guys. So I ask you to comment. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want you to write yes in the comments. And let's see some yeses in the comments. If you have this relationship with the Holy Spirit, yes. But listen to me. If you don't and you'd like it, put no. Put no. And let's get that relationship established for you. Let's get that teacher, the great and most Holy Spirit, to be able to be with you and help you as you walk on the earth from this point forward in your life, so that the real confidence that all is well can flood your soul and your inner person, that you can have a joy inexpressible and a confidence in this world as you live your life out the rest of your days before other men and women. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to pray for you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I just lift up this listening audience and this viewing audience with you right now. You guys, raise your hands with me right there. Wherever you are, if you're driving, don't let go of the steering wheel. Maybe just raise one hand and do not close your eyes if you're driving or operating heavy equipment. And certainly if you're a pilot, you probably won't even be listening to this, but please be safe. Everyone, raise your hands up to God. I'll tell you, when I went to heaven, Jesus said, raise your hands. And he told me straight up, raise your hands. That's what they do in heaven. So raise your hands. It's an acknowledgement of a resignation to God, that you're yielding yourself to him willingly. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you and I lift up this entire viewing and listening audience to you, Lord Jesus. Father, that a relationship would be established between you and your people, that we would be more sensitive to you, that our awareness of you with us and in us would wake up and come to new heights. Father, that we not be used by God, but are made usable by you, Lord. That as this revival is being revealed and it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger, Lord, that this viewing and listening audience would not shrink back, would not be afraid, Father, but Father, would be the fire, would be the life, would be the manifest presence of you in the earth, Lord. That they can, Father, be your instruments on the earth, setting creation and individuals free by your goodness and your glory. I thank you for this, Father. And I thank you for everyone that is watching this and listening to this, Lord. That they have a blessed life in your goodness and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints, I love talking to you about these things of the kingdom of God. So now we've only got four more to go. So I'm going to try to kind of get it all wrapped up into a way, because believe it or not, the original thing that I wanted to talk about, we haven't even come close to talking about yet. But I want you to be able to follow me from being a flesh person to a spiritual person to a relationship with God, so that we can start really moving forward in the kingdom of God, because you are so important in this whole equation. Your whole life has accumulated and come together for this time in history. God thought so much of you that he made sure you were born for this season that we're about to walk through. So you have a significant part in the kingdom of God, no matter what has happened in your life or that you carry. You're perfect for God's plan right now. So I love you. God bless you. And I look forward to seeing you, or rather you seeing me, in a week. Bye.